Amen. Amen. I overwhelmed with joy. Amen. It definitely feels good to be appreciated. Amen. Because it definitely has not always been easy being a pastor. Never. This is not something you grow up dreaming about. Amen. This is for real. I mean, you may grow up to say be a policeman, be a nurse, you know, be this or that or the other, baseball player. But you don't grow up and say, I want to be a pastor. I mean, that's just not something that comes out of your mouth. Amen. But when your number and when your name get called, and you got to answer the call whether you want to or not. I mean, you can run, but you're going to be arrested. Amen. And when you get done running and tiring yourself out, you still going to have to do what God say do. Amen. Even though you see that there's somebody else who is more qualified to do it, God is looking at you. And you wonder, why is he looking at me? Because God knows what he put inside of you. Amen. Because definitely the road has not been easy for me. As I don't know, many of you know my grandfather, some, you know, you don't. But I try not to be like him. But there's a part of me that just can't help it. Amen. It's not anything bad. It's just his style has definitely grabbed hold of me. And it's not that I, you know, you try to be yourself. But in being myself, I find myself being who he is. And he is a man of God, so we should be following after a man of God. Amen. I thank God for his wisdom and his leadership. And I say this in a very respectful way, when church service was over, it wasn't over for me. Because my grandfather would drill me. And when I would take him home or what have you, he would drill me. And he would always say, what did you learn today in church? What did you see? What did you hear? And then when I answered him, he always followed back up and said, and? And when I answered that, and he still said, and? He was drilling me. At the time, I didn't understand. Wasn't even a pastor, wasn't even a minister. I was just a young man in Christ. But he knew what the road was ahead for me. And he was preparing me to be the person that I am today. So I thank my grandfather for his teaching and for his leadership in my life. Because all of the cousins that I have, I said, why not them? You know, when they say when you got one finger pointing, there's three pointing back at you. So I had too many fingers pointing back at me, saying that you are the one that's going to do it. And I was like, well, my brother Michael, he was called into the ministry before me. How come he can't do it? And man, there he's sitting right over there. Get him. We always want God to get somebody else. Y'all understand that? We want God to get that person. I want God to get him. I'll be his support. I'll be a good support. God was like, no, it is you. But you know, and I say this, and I thank God for having a wonderful wife as well. You all don't know how hard it is to be single and preach. But to have a wife and preach. Y'all notice my preaching is not the same as it was when I first started. It's different. The wife give you a little Amen. Give you a little ump that you need. It's like spinach to Popeye. Amen. I'm going to leave that alone now. But I thank God for my wife and for the children. Amen. Just the blessing, you know, to me. And I thank God for each and every one of you, Angela. Amen. I keep it real now. That's how she like it, Angela. She responds better when you say it that way. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Thank God for you for stepping out. Amen. And singing. Amen. You saved Camille this morning. Amen. Amen. Lord knows she didn't want to do the solo, but it's good to call on somebody. Amen. I don't think her children would have loved that this morning. Amen. But I do thank you, Minister Vita. Thank you for the words of encouragement. I mean, like I said, just coming in and already working in the ministry. That to me, as a pastor, you know, when you always going to the same old, but it's good to have somebody to come in and already running for God. Amen. See, you don't have to tell a child of God to do something, man. It's already in them to do it. When I was on a ball field, they didn't have to tell me to get my glove. I already had that with me when I came. Amen. I had my bat, too. All I needed was the field. Amen. And who was my opponent? Amen. That's all I needed. It was because I was a ball player. Amen. You understand that? It's a difference when you're a ball player, when you're a Christian. Amen. You already know what you're ready to do. Amen. Amen. And Mitch, thank God for those inspiring words. I didn't know how tall you were, but I know now. Amen. I just know you was tall. Amen. But thanks for clearing that up. 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". I didn't know you was taller than me. But to say you look up to me, that means a lot. To be able to touch lives, you all. I mean, to save souls, that is a blessing. To be able to touch someone, and not to put anybody's business out, but when you're a person that didn't want to attend church or go to church, I mean, and now all of a sudden your mind is different. I don't count credit for that. I count that to God. Because truly God gives me the message on Sunday morning to speak to you all. This is not something that I come up with because I'm frustrated a lot because I want to go this way and God wants me to go this way. And so you battle with that. People think that you get up on Sunday mornings, oh, you can read the scriptures. And it's not that easy. This is not that easy. It's not just something that you get up because people need deliverance. People need healing. People need a word from God in a time that there is no word that is going forth out there. Amen. People are want to pack churches, but not for the right reason. Amen. That's why he's coming back after his church. Amen. Because he got to clean the house up. So this is why I preaching, and a lot of times y'all see me, you may be a little frustrated. I may have several messages inside of my head at once, and you're trying to get it to where it makes sense to the people, and you're trying to speak clearly. Amen. So thank you, you know, Mitch, for those encouraging words, and I appreciate that. That touches the heart, man. I mean, it does. It touches the heart, and Camille, thank you for coming back. Amen. Amen. And bringing your husband. I could always get a smile out of him. I don't think I've ever seen him upset or mad. But my thing is, I'm glad to see you all back in the ministry. It is a blessing to me. It is a blessing to me because truly I can use your help in the ministry. Amen. And I'm thankful for everyone for your words of encouragement to me. I just had to take this moment to say that. Couldn't go without saying it. just thank you all for 11 years in the ministry and pastoring. That is a blessing. I mean, thank my deacons who are always there. When you look over, you want to see your men, your guys in position and in place. When you look around, everybody in place. And thank God for the musicians. Again, I say I don't really tell them what to play, but I thank God because they listen to God and they know how to hear from God. And they are anointed to play the musician, to the instruments. And being anointed to play, I mean, God blessed it. You know, I'm amazed at this, and I'm going to get into the word. But I'm amazed that, you know, I believe Stephanie also, she, I don't believe she reads notes, but she can play. You can't tell. I mean, for somebody to get there and say, let me hear it. I mean, do y'all understand that? I mean, come on now. I mean, just somebody's getting on the instrument. I can get over there and say, you move over, sister. And I start, you know, playing. It ain't going to make sense to you. I'm hearing the same thing she's hearing. But it ain't making no sense. But when she get over there and she hears it, she can make it make sense. She can make it sing to you. I'm going to make you say, God, come on, Pat. Y'all see Mitch get up? Y'all know what time it is. He get ready to shut it down. He get ready to shut it down. It's over. Amen. But thank God for musicians like that. Amen. My brother as well, he gets on that bass. I mean, he doesn't read music, but he hears it, and he can play it. Amen. And I believe that that's not the only instrument that Stephanie can play as well. But thank God for the musicians that's in the house. Amen. And motivation to me is seeing Brother Moore play the sax. Amen. If that don't motivate you. Amen. He was determined. He likes to sing, but his joy is playing that sax. He got it already strapped. He ready to blow it. He ready to blow it now. See, that's when you're ready. When you're ready, you know. But I thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. Amen. Let's get into the word. Amen. Isaiah 54 chapter. And for those of you that was with us on Friday night, God bless you. I had a great time. It was funny. It was hilarious. I mean, God bless everybody for your participation. I mean, it was truly, truly wonderful. Amen. And we did really well. Amen. So I thank everybody for their participation and their support. Amen. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I'm reading from the King James Version. This is what I grew up on. Amen. And sometimes it's not as easy to read, but I'm comfortable with it at this point. Amen. Isaiah 54, 17th verse. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, said the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We need to know, without a shadow of a doubt, you are a child of God and you accepted Christ as your Savior. You need to understand that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I don't care how many times you say it, you need to continue to say it. And I don't care what is, the weapons are going to be formed, but it's not going to prosper. It's going to happen, but you have to understand that it's not going to prosper. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. That's what God's word says. Amen. I don't care how big and bad somebody may be. but they ain't better than God. Amen. Amen. Y'all need to understand that. And no one has dethroned him. Amen. He still has all power. But we are in life here on earth. We are faced with difficult situations and challenges. At times it seems as though our situations are the final chapters of our lives. Our job poses problems for us, or even our health may begin to fail us. But we need to understand that it seems as though everything we've tried is not working, but we need to understand that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Life has a way of throwing us a curveball. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you, curveballs are not easy to hit. Sometimes, you know, when I was playing ball, the curveball came unexpectedly. But you got to be ready for it. Amen. You can, you know, when you're expecting a fastball and you get a curveball, you can be way out in front of that pitch. But you have to understand that's the way life feels sometimes. Sometimes we're kind of way out in front of something. But life throws us curveballs at times. Sometimes we're left thinking, Lord, why me? Why me? And I'm going to say this. Why not? Why not you? I said, why not me? And why me, Lord? And Lord, pick me. So what makes you different? What makes you better that you shouldn't be picked on? Right. Keep in mind that we all are in line. I don't know what number you have, but I know we're in line. Right. And what I'm saying is that you're next in line for whatever is coming. My thing advice to you is to be prepared for when your number is called. You know, I used to hate being in school because, you know, my name fell at the top of the alphabet. And man, if there was no A or B there, guess what? That C is next. I used to hate being in class because I used to be like, okay, I need somebody with an Abbott or Adams or somebody, you know, I mean, Bush or something. I mean, I need a last name. I ain't have too much to choose from. But I needed somebody in front of me other than, you know, my letter. I mean, but that's the hand that I was dealt. Didn't have a choice. And man, I didn't mind. You know, that was the time I wanted to really be a nobody, because you way down the list. Right. I'm like, why couldn't I not just been an old Bannon? I mean, put me to Williams, you know, somewhere down in the alphabets. You know, I had the one friend, his last name was Yates. I said, lucky you. I mean, because by the time they get to him, I mean, if everybody else done messed up at the top, he can get it right when it gets to him. Sometimes I want the teacher to, can you start with the Z's first and then work your way up? But I'm saying to you, that's not the way it works in life. As much as we would like for to be secondary or third or whatever, doesn't always work that way. When God calls you, you better be ready. Amen. Jesus came to make us totally free. Freedom from demons, sin, fear, death, so we can have nothing to fear about. We are literally, you all need to understand, we are literally surrounded by spiritual enemies. Yes. That are constantly trying to overtake you. Yes. Trying to get you off track. Yes. Do anything it can to prevent you from doing God's will. Yes. Whatever that may be. The enemy does not want you to be successful in doing God's will. You can read throughout the Bible how Satan tried to derail God's plan. But as you can see, that's where that scripture comes. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. You know that scripture has to be embedded into our minds, because I'm going to tell you, people will let you see reality. They'll say to you, reality is, this is what you have. This is what you're dealing with. But in your spiritual mind, you have to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. We have to say, no weapon can hurt you. No weapon can do anything to you. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. Anybody that is doing something against God's will in your life, y'all have to understand, it will not work. Because God has decreed it, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now I want to show you how this promise is more real today than it has ever been, so you can walk in God's divine protection and plans in these last days. Because I'm going to tell you something, you need to know God's word. You don't have time to be saying, what chapter did the pastor say that came out of? You got to know for yourself where it came from. Amen? The Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his job description. Amen. It's just that simple. So that's why when people say that God killed and God destroyed, that is not in God. The devil did that. That is his job description, is to kill, steal, and destroy. Period. That is his job description. That's what he do. And he will continue to do that for as long as God allow. Now, God allow things to happen in our lives. And then sometimes, I like how Charles Stanley says, he says, God allows it to happen to teach you, don't do that. That will get you killed. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I like how he said, I can't say it no better than that. So I got to give Dr. Charles Stanley credit for that. He said, God will let it run his course and say, see that? Do you see that? You do that, that'll get you killed. Can't say it no better than that. Jesus says to you and I in Luke chapter 10, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, I like the word nothing. It is similar to the one in the verse in Isaiah 54:17, where it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It is all inclusive and specific. It covers every aspect of our lives, whether it be weapon of terrorism, weapon of war, weapons of sickness or disease, or weapons of debt, weapons of emotional pressure. It is saying no weapon can prosper. No weapon can prosper. So in other words, what it's saying is the weapons will form, but it will not prosper against a child of God. But first, we must understand God's previous covenant. In Exodus chapter 12, the children of Israel were commanded by God to kill a lamb and put the blood over the doorpost and of their houses, so that when the plagues of death came to strike down the firstborn of each house, it would pass over them. And the blood of Jesus, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I say the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, God honored the blood of the Lamb. He brought divine protection to the children of Israel through the blood of the Passover lamb. This is understood as the blood covenant. All right. So we need to understand God's new covenant, which applies to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 7, Jesus is called our Passover lamb. So he is to us what the Passover lamb of Exodus was to the children of Israel. In other words, divine protection and deliverance from plagues, destruction, and bondage. Then we need to understand the difference between these Passover lambs or these covenants. In Hebrews chapter 8 and 6, it says that Jesus has obtained a more excellent, just paraphrasing, his ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Now, the difference here between the old covenant, which was very powerful and effective, versus the new covenant is more excellent. It is a better covenant. It has better promises. Now, how can I relate this to you? How can I get you to understand what I'm trying to say about the old and the new? Well, here it is. When I go to the store and see a product like laundry detergent that says it is new and improved, it means that it has to do at least what the old product did and then some. Y'all follow me? It had that it has to do what the old one was capable of doing. And then some. Because it has on there new. Okay? So since it has on there new, so when we expect that we have the blood of Jesus as our Passover, we must understand that the new covenant would do at least as much as the old and then some. So this is a better covenant with better promises established by better blood, because it's not animal blood. It's from the blood of Jesus. So therefore, it's a better product. Y'all understand? Therefore, you and I can expect better results. When you go to the store and you get this new product that says new on there, you don't expect for it to do what the old thing did, because there's a reason why you went to go get the new. Because the old one is just not getting the stains out like you want it. But when you go and get the new, it's got to have some more potent in it. Something that will, when it sees the stain, it attacks it. It jumps on it. It grabs it and it snatches. That's what the new covenant, the new blood. See, you know, you get some of those products that say new. No. It's either new or it's not. You ain't got to put four or five news on there. I don't need all that. Just let me know that it's better than the last product. So the children of Israel, they enjoyed supernatural protection from the enemies of death and terror. They enjoy supernatural deliverance from the most ferocious army in the world, which was the Egyptians. The children of Israel enjoyed the plundering of the Egyptians' wealth, which was transferred into the hands of the Israelites. We can enjoy all of these things and then some. Now, how do we walk in this better covenant with better promises? First of all, we must declare it with our mouths. See, some of us don't, I don't know what you do at home. I'm just going to say, when we get to church, we act like we don't want to open up our mouths. We act like we don't want to say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We act like we don't know how to say those words. Let me tell you something. The Bible says if you don't open up your mouth, the rocks will cry out. You don't want no rock crying out. You need to open up your mouth. So the reason why some of us are not being blessed, I'm not saying all, it's just some of us are not being blessed because we don't open up our mouths. You got to confess this thing. You got to speak it. You got to say it. If God spoke the world into existence, he's trying to tell you, do as I do. Speak to it. know, I mean, we got to have great examples in life, right? Am I right? We got to have something good to follow. Jesus, God was giving us a great example in the beginning when he spoke. And he said thus, and it happened. Let me tell you something. God is basically saying to you right now, if you open up your mouth and speak to your situation, speak to your problem, God is saying you have power. We must know that this covenant went into effect the day Jesus died on the cross. Let me tell you something. In my line of business that I deal with contracts. And one of the things I'm going to tell you that the providers know and understand, they understand an effective date. Because, see, an effective date let them know that if they did this on this particular day, they know that if it was within the effective date, that it was covered. Y'all understand what I'm saying? When Jesus died on the cross, that's when the effective date started. And let me tell you something. If you're within the effective date, you don't have to worry about getting a prior authorization. You don't have to wonder if it is covered. You need to understand that if it happens in the effective date, that it is covered. You need to understand, for a testimony is enforced after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the tester lives. We need to understand that we have power. We walking around here like we ain't got no power on us at all. We walking around.
Come on here.
Well, you are. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. I hear some people say, well, I'm blessed and highly favored. I don't mean no disrespect now. I ain't trying to make nobody laugh. I'm not trying to be a comedian. I'm a preacher. I'm trying to tell you that the way some of these people act, you can't tell that you're blessed and highly favored.
Right.
Not looking like that. I was like, you what? No, sir. I mean, sometimes you want to say, what church you go to? Because something ain't right. You know, it sent progress reports home from the church. What if God sent that home? What would your grade be? You know what I'm saying? When you have an F, you know, an F means you at least did something. I got to pause. Zero means you ain't do nothing. I had a teacher in the class that was so bad, people were struggling. The teacher said, at least put your name on the paper so I can give you credit for that. That's how bad the test scores were. But y'all need to understand, we can come boldly to the throne of God's grace and make our request known to him. That is a blessing. We're going to the Creator. Boldly to the throne. We can't go to the White House. Y'all know that, don't you? And I don't care if you do have an appointment. You can't go and see your congressman. I'm going to tell you something. Man, every time election comes, you get all this stuff in the mail. You get all kind of stuff. They talk about what they can do or what do you want to see better and all this type of stuff. And man, as soon as you reply back and want to get an appointment, man, I'm going to tell you, it is over. They don't want to hear from you. Because they don't want you to make them do their job. That's why you can't get a hold to them. That's why they always say, well, the congressman is out. The congressman is busy. The congressman will get back with you. And the congressman never get back with you. Now they out of office. But we need to understand, we can go boldly to the throne. Weapons. Think about this. This is not anything negative, but weapons need to be formed. Because they're going to come. They're going to come. But when they come, you prepare for it. Why? Because you've been studying. you've been in God's word. So when you are attacked, you can understand what you're dealing with. I like what I always mix his name up because I know so many Perry, Matthew Perry. I know so many. The name could be either way, but I like how he said it. He said he looked the devil in the eye. And it was a person that was talking to him. But the point that he said was he saw the spirit that was operating inside of the person. See, that's what you all need to understand. You have to understand that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. You have to identify who you're talking to. If somebody is keeping you from the word of God and they're keeping you off of God's word, that ain't of God. If something is drawing you closer to God, making you run underneath God, then that is of God. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You have to understand who you're talking to. Not everybody you're talking to is a child of God. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. The devil comes to church as well. So, why weapons will not prosper against you? Because God says so. That's one of them mama things. When you ask mama or your daddy something, they say, because I said so. And that shuts it down. In other words, because I said it, when they stamp that approval on that, that shuts everything down. There is no questioning that because what? Because they said so. And if you dare them, there's something that's going to happen to you. So you don't challenge that because I said so. You know, you got some people that just want to say, well, I want to understand what the said so means. Many people are set on here on this earth for an example for you. Y'all understand that? It is the nature. When we start class, I always tell people somebody is here to only be an example. They're not going to make it to the end. Why? Because it's in their nature to just do wrong. Christ already defeated the enemy. That's why no weapon formed against you. See, the devil takes sufficient time to fashion weapons. If God shows you a dream, it's what is happening in the realm of the spiritual. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So if it's bad, don't claim it. If it's good, claim it. But you have to understand, there is spiritual warfare going on. And the problem with spiritual warfare is that people are ignorant to it. They don't realize that there's a spiritual warfare going on. All they see is, this person did this, this person said that to me. It is a spiritual warfare that is going on. A lot of times before I get up to preach, y'all know Satan don't want me to speak. He don't want me to speak God's word because he knows that somebody's going to be delivered from the message. Somebody is going to receive healing from the message. So Satan tries everything he can to prevent God's message from going forth.
All right.
Now, let me show you something. One day, Jesus was hungry. And I'm going to tell you the power of words. Jesus was hungry, and he was walking. And from afar, he saw a fig tree having leaves. He went to see if it would find, if he would find something to eat. Coming to it, he found nothing but leaves. And in response, he said, let no one eat from you ever again. You see, the tree... Let me use my imagination now. If Jesus went to this tree and said this to this tree, he's the creator. Without him, nothing was created. That's what the Bible says. So obviously, this tree that was here, that had leaves but didn't produce anything, obviously this tree says something to the creator. For Jesus to curse it. Y'all follow me? Now, this is me. Like Paul said, I speak this.
I'm letting you know I speak this. I'm believing that that tree says something to Jesus for him to curse it. So the following morning they passed by. They saw that the fig tree was dried up with the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to the rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So what did Jesus do to the tree? For it dried up. Peter said that he cursed it. How did he curse the tree? He spoke words to it. He spoke some words to the tree. What I'm trying to get you to say that there is death and life. They're in the power of the tongue. It's in the power of the tongue. Jesus destroyed. When I say destroyed, I mean he cursed that tree. Because that tree was not producing. The survival of that tree was on Jesus' tongue. Jesus could have very easily said it in a different way. But because he found the tree not producing, he spoke to it and he cursed it. You have the power to speak life in dead situations. Things that are to live, you can speak to it. Things that should die, you can speak to that. What I'm trying to tell you is that you have the power to speak life or death to your situation. All right. You have that power. Sickness, you can speak. It's going to come knocking at your door. It's going to attack you. It's going to come. But you can speak life or death. You see, you can't really control the people who knock on your door. All right. But you can control the people who you allow in. All right. You understand that? Folks can come to your door and knock. You can't control that. But you can control who you allow to come in. You need to understand something. Let me share something with you. You don't have to accept everything that people give you. You got to be careful with that. I don't let everybody pray over me. Y'all understand that? Believe me when I tell you this. Because people can put a curse on you. Now, I want y'all to understand this. I ain't trying to scare you. This ain't Halloween now. I'm trying to be real with you. People can put a curse on you. You better be careful and letting people pray over you. But let me tell you, you ain't got to accept everything. There was a battle that was going on between me and my mail carrier. And I'm going to tell you what the battle was. So one day I went out to my mailbox and I saw some mail. Now the mailman, the mail carrier, because not always a mailman, but the mail carrier delivers mail. Go from mailbox, door to door, however they deliver it in your neighborhood. So one particular morning or day, I went to the mailbox, looked in the mail, went through it, and I said, oh, this ain't mine. I ain't accepting this. Put it back in the mailbox. Put the flag up, went on in the house, took what I wanted to receive. Listen to what I'm saying to you. So the next day, I got the flag up. And I don't get a lot of mail because I don't put myself in debt. So I don't get a lot of mail. So very seldom, I can go 3-4 days without getting mail. That just tells you how much myself is taken care of. So my point is, what I'm trying to say is that I go back out to the mailbox, routine, and I look, and I saw, oh, I got some mail. And I said, oh. It's the same thing I just told her. This ain't mine. So I put it back in the mailbox. Put that flag up. Next day came. Go to the mailbox. Same routine, right? I'm getting to a point here. I go in the mailbox. Look, I said, oh, no. I said, this is not mine. So I went in the house, got me a pen. Return to sender. Went back out to the mailbox. Put it in there, flip the flag up. I'm not accepting that. Next day came, I was waiting on the mail person. I was waiting. I was like this. Went out there, and I said, hey, that's not my mail. And she looked at it. She said, well, it's got the right address. I said, it may have the right address, but it ain't got the right name. I said, return that to sender. I don't want that. I said, that ain't mine. And she kept saying to me, well, it's got this. Is this 200? I said, yes, it is, but that ain't mine. I said, take that. I don't want it. I put on that return to sender. I don't want somebody else's mail. That don't belong here at this house. It may have the right address, but it ain't got the right person. So what's my spiritual point? Satan is going to deliver stuff to you. May have the right location, but it ain't got your name on it. So you got to fight, just like I had to fight with that mail carrier who was persistent in doing their job and delivering something that don't belong to me. So I had to say, no, 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 no. This is not mine. I'm not taking it. That is going back to the sender. And if I had to do that every day, I was ready. I was ready to go out there and do it again. That ain't mine. Next day, I was ready to do it again. It ain't mine. You have to send it back to the devil. If it don't belong, if it ain't come from God, if it's not postmarked with heaven on it, then you need to send it back to the sender. You don't have to accept that. Y'all just accept it like, oh, this is somebody else's mail. You know, I even seen people, you know, just give me, let me give you this illustration. I seen folks when they go to their mailbox, they be looking and they be like, oh, this ain't my mail. I see them walking down the street and they putting it in somebody else's mailbox. Spiritually speaking, Satan is going to deliver some weapons to you. Y'all need to understand, he gonna try to make it prosper. He gonna try to make it for him against you. But you have to send it back to the sender from whence it came. You don't have to accept that. Rebuke it. Send it back. Fight. Be right. I was ready to fight with the mail carrier. Not like in a physical, but in a battle to say, I don't care. We gonna go back and forth. I'm gonna keep flipping that flag up and you gonna take this. May have the right address, but you ain't got the right name. My name ain't on that. God didn't sign off on that. But you got to have, see, here's this what I'm trying to get you to say. You got to have Jesus inside of you. You got to know that this is a fight. This is a war that's going on. Just like in the natural, if you know how to do that, you need to be able to do that in the spiritual. Satan sending stuff to people every time. They say, well, you know, doctor said that I only got to the end of the year. Doctor said that, you know, I got this and I got that. Got to take all this medication. I understand what the doctor said. I understand that. But we need to understand we don't have to accept that. The Bible says by his stripes we are healed. The Lord Jesus bore my sickness. So whatever disease, you need to understand, it will not prosper. We need to tell that disease, I command you to die in Jesus' name. You need to speak to that situation. See, this is spiritual warfare. Speak to that situation. Speak to it. You know, it may look like you're crazy, but you're winning the war. I mean, come on now. It don't look pretty now. It ain't going to look pretty. You know, you going around saying, oh, sickness, get out of me. You know, it doesn't look good when you talk to yourself. My grandfather told me, just don't answer yourself. You can talk, but don't answer. When you start answering, then there's a problem. All right. You need to understand, as I get ready to close, you speak life and death to your situation. It's all upon you. It's how you do it. You can sit back and wait on the pastor, wait on the ministers, wait on us, but you have a mouth And I believe you can speak.
All right.
You can say something. You can speak to your situation. When the Lord walked to the tree, it must have said something against him. For the word of God says that Jesus answered and said unto thee, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Jesus could have replied in a different situation, in a different way, but he didn't. Now life is full of a lot of decisions. We all have decisions to make. We have decisions to accept Christ as our Savior. We have decisions to not accept him. But we all have a decision to make. And it's up to us. People die because of something said. Tongues can be weapons of mass destruction, launching holocausts and wars. Tongues can also be the death of marriages and families and friendship and churches, careers and all sorts of things. But people also live because of something said. How many know that there's somebody in your family that was praying for you? When you were out there in the streets doing your thing, you was at the club. They didn't get the party started until you showed up. How many? I'm sorry, I went a little bit too far. Different crowd. We don't have that kind of party people there. But y'all know there was people, when they came, the party got started. Somebody was praying for you. Was praying that you would be delivered. Was praying that you wouldn't stay too far after. That you would come back into Christ. So in other words, somebody spoke something over your life to bring you back to Christ. Aren't you glad that they did that? I'm going to tell you something. It ought to be a point in your life. Listen to what I'm saying. That as a person, as a child of God, you ought to be able to feel when somebody's praying for you.
Amen.
I mean, you ought to be able to feel it. When you're getting ready to do something that you have no business doing, you ought to hear, you ought to be able to feel it. Where it just grab hold to you and tell you, no, no, no. You don't want to do that. There ought to be some Holy Ghost connection with people of God. Because if I'm connected to the Spirit of God and you connected to the Spirit of God, when I'm praying for you, you ought to be able to feel the connection. You ought to be able to feel the power of that connection. And let me tell you something. When you're getting ready to do wrong, it ought to say, Spirit ought to convict you. To let you know that this is not the right thing to do. So we need to understand here this morning. We need to understand here with our mouth. Understand that just because you are in a condition, understand that a condition is a weapon that the enemy forms against you, but the scripture says that it cannot prosper. So what is a condition that the enemy has formed against you that have you backstepping into fear and oppression? Let the condition form, just don't give it power. Many of us give our conditions the power. Understand that the Bible declared to us that no matter what the condition is, it is working for my good. So in other words, even though that it may not look good to me right now, but I need to understand that my condition is working for my good.
Amen.
So we need to understand this then. If we are doing something, we're going through something, we need to understand that God is preparing us for something.
Amen.
Understand that. So if we are here on earth, then this is basically, I've heard this said before, that it's just a rehearsal of what is to come. So if we have trouble coming to church right now, we're going to have problems later on. If we cannot open up our mouths and say hallelujah, say thank you, Jesus, say praise the Lord, if we have trouble doing that now, what do you think that you're going to do in the afterlife? We are only being prepared for what we are getting ready to partake in. Now, I understand I'm not in my glorified body. If I sit down on the couch, I'm going to fall asleep. I'm going to tell you that right now. My wife will tell you I'm good for one movie and one movie only. Other than that, I'm done. Next thing you know, she's either playing with my lips with doing this or got her foot on me or some kind of way. And then I wake up and look at her. And I try to act like I wasn't sleeping. I try to act like it was a long blink. Knowing that it wasn't. And she just is wide awake, just like this. I mean, eyes bigger than mine. Watching TV, but what I'm trying to say, I'm not in my glorified body. So I'm going to get tired on this side. But when I get on the other side, it ain't going to be the same. Not like as we know it right now. Because we have to understand that, you know, we get a little aches and pains, get a little back hurting. You know, I never knew what pain, you know, really was. And I still don't, not to the magnitude. But I understand that, man, when I go out to play, I need to warm up first. Even though my mind tell me you can do it, but my son let me know here, if you want to chase me, you better make sure you warm up first. They want me to chase him through the house, and I'm going to tell you, all I got to do is leave from the living room to the bedroom, and I'm out of breath. And I do not want to pull my daddy voice. All right, now y'all stop that running. That's just so I can catch him. Then they freeze up like this. But what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm tired on this side. You get weary on this side. But there's going to come a time where all that's going to be passed away. We ain't going to be tired. We ain't going to be weary. We going to be like this, praising God all day long. We ain't got to worry about making our appointments anymore. Not to go and see no doctor. We ain't got to worry about no more co-pays. We ain't got to worry about if we're covered on this insurance. We ain't got to worry about going to see no doctor. Going to no emergency room. We got to operate on this. Tomorrow they got to operate on that. Next month they calling me back to work on my back. There's going to come a time where we ain't going to feel that no more. All we going to feel is joy, unspeakable joy, like this world doesn't know of. That's what we're going to be rejoicing on. We're going to feel so good that we're going to forget pain. Backache, headache, what headache? Don't even know about no headache anymore. Advil would be out of business. Bear would be out of business. Pepto-Bismol would be out of business. The pharmaceutical people can rack it up. They done. Closing up. Why? Because we're going to be in the new heaven. Feeling good. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Be in our glorified bodies. Rejoicing and praising God. That's a day of rejoicing. That's a day I'm looking forward to. There's times where I tell my wife, I said, my knee is just really, I said, it's got me. I said, I shouldn't have had kids at this later age. She encouraged me, though. She tried to tell me, oh, you know, she tried to tell me, don't be speaking that stuff. But, I mean, I'd be like, ooh, Jesus. I was like, this knee, I said, you, I need a chiropractor. I was like, Tom, who you going to see? I need somebody to line me up. I'm feeling it. But I'm here to tell you, speak life to your situation. I don't care what it may be. I don't care how you feeling. Speak life. Speak positive. Don't speak negative words. Speak positive. Speak to your situation. Say it out loud. Let everybody know it. Go on your job. Speak it. Speak it. Just keep speaking. Just keep saying it. Hey, just keep saying it. Keep speaking. Keep speaking it. Keep speaking it. Keep speaking life to your dead situation. Amen.